Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue Athletics. Here's your host, Kyle Charter. The June football recruiting season is warming up, at least in terms of visits. Could commitments follow? We'll break it down on Gold and Black Radio. Kyle Charter is here, Brian Newbert as well. We'll talk to Tom Deanhart here in just a couple of minutes. Brian, this podcast interrupting our very good conversation about Craigslist sales and impaired drivers. But we'll move on and talk a little bit about football recruiting. A bunch of official visitors. I think, it's a very good, for a mope like me, handy tool to have your visit breakdown list on the website at goldandblack.com, the visitor directory. But it was a big one for this weekend with several guys in, no commitments as of yet. Maybe that'll change here in the near term. Perhaps it won't, considering this is a typically small class. Any big takeaways from the visitor weekend?
Well, I don't see why we can't keep talking about Craigslist, but no commitments, at least immediate commitments. And that's probably to be expected to some extent. I did make a comment last night on our message board that I'm not entirely sure whether the kids are going to be working on Purdue's schedule this month or Purdue's going to be working on their schedule. And what I mean by that is, Purdue, as we've talked about every week on this podcast, for this 2020 recruiting class, only has X number of scholarships. This is going to be a really small class. Purdue's MO in June, the last couple of years under Jeff Brohm, has been to get, wholesale commitments, bulk commitments, and I just don't know if that's your ideal scenario this particular year, because you don't want to have a recruiting class of, say, 12 scholarships and get 12 guys in June and then sit on those 12 guys for a year when all of these other players are out there, to be gotten, to be discovered. But also the reality of it, too, is that, Purdue should, the natural arc of the way things are going for Purdue, should have more cachet with recruits now than they have even the last two recruiting classes. And obviously the class they just signed last year was one of the better classes in school history. So with that being said, you're also probably taking your shot at a higher caliber of recruit across the board, and you're not going to get those guys as often in June. Those are the guys you're going to have to wait to December and January to get. And that's sort of the game of chicken that comes with recruiting, where you put off guys you can get early to chase a higher caliber of player. But then obviously the percentages aren't as in your favor with the guys you have to wait on to get. But that's a game worth playing for Purdue this year, because obviously you obviously always want to exhaust your cachet the best you can to make the most of it, to make the most of your momentum the best you can. And that's what they're going to try to do. So all what that spells out in June is a June that's not going to be nearly as busy or eventful as it has the last couple of years. That's not to say Purdue won't get commitments this month. They're going to get a bunch. Most likely. But what they're not going to do is they're not going to get 15 commitments this month like they had the last couple of months, or so it seemed.
Right. There's risk in it too, right? Because, you're on a higher caliber guy. You need to keep the momentum, keep the leverage as long as you can on those guys. And that means, getting off to a good start to the season, it would seem, continuing to show that you're a program on the rise, those kind of things. So it's not, recruiting comes with risk always. Maybe a more risky situation to be in when you're trying to take that next step forward.
Well, right. But if you want to get the best players you can get, that's the game you have to play.
Yeah.
Purdue will, to a certain extent, bet on itself this season, expect to have the sort of success on the field that it's had this year or the past couple of years and then some, because I think the way things are trending, I think this is sort of the year that, people will reasonably expect, the 7-8 win 7-8-9 win type of season. You know, I think Purdue's home field environment from a recruiting perspective will be the best it's been to this point. And when you get recruits on your campus during the season, as opposed to in sleepy June, you know, I think that's probably, that can probably help your recruiting even more. You know, Purdue got David Bell last year, not because he visited in June, but because he visited for the Missouri game and for the Iowa game, two really, really high level environments, among other reasons. But what I'm saying is, when you wait on those, that higher caliber of player, and you get them to your games, and Purdue will get at least one of its highest end targets, or two of its highest end targets, in for in-season official visits, and that would be Malik Carr and probably Deontay Craig, based on what he said. Getting those guys to those games can help you even more too. So Purdue, to a certain extent, will hope this season too can help it have some recruiting success much later in the process than it's had the past couple of years. And obviously Purdue got a bunch of its highest rated recruits last year, Milton Wright, David Bell, et cetera, Jalen Graham, during the season or after the season. So it did a pretty good job after the summer last year as well, but this might be a year where the bulk of the recruiting results occur following the summer as opposed to during the summer.
Yeah. Look, I say nice things about places they've just visited. That's not breaking news. Really, it's happened for years. And the same holds true for the guys visiting Purdue. You know, this last weekend, you've got, what, half a dozen updates on those guys on the website now, goldenblack.com. But anything in particular seem like a theme with those guys about what they're saying about Purdue?
Well, they all mention academics, which, you know, oftentimes it's just lip service, but I think in a lot of these cases,
right,
it's something that's a legitimate lure for Purdue, but it's not BS. It's like, what they're telling recruits is, if you come to Purdue, you're going to get a great education. You're going to be set for life. Now, a lot of people are telling these kids that, but it's also not pie in the sky stuff. Like when Purdue had nothing else to sell before in recruiting, they would tell every kid about how great they are in engineering, which of course does not apply to most recruits. But what this staff has done has been like, you're going to get a great education and we are going to help you. Purdue has taken significant steps from a student services perspective. And a lot of these guys are really, really responding to what Purdue is selling them in terms of, we have people here to help you. We are going to make you be successful. We are going to invest in your success.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff. That is really resonating with kids. That is really resonating with kids' families. And one isn't always more important than the other. The other thing every one of these dudes talks about is Purdue being family oriented. That's another thing that kids just say and don't really mean it. But I do think Purdue, Purdue gets its current players out in front of recruits quite a bit. And as has often long been said in recruiting, sometimes your best recruiters are your players. And
yeah,
Purdue's players do a good job telling recruits what's going on at Purdue, what to expect at Purdue. And there is risk in that too, because now obviously Purdue is not putting any guys it would view as wild cards out there in front of recruits. but, and I don't know how many wild cards Purdue has, but I think these recruits are really responding to meeting Rondell Moore on visits. I think they're really responding to meeting George Karloftis on visits. He's been basically ubiquitous with all of these recruiting weekends. He's just kind of there and everybody meets him. But I know Purdue's recruiting hosts have all done a pretty good job, it seems like, building relationships with these guys and kind of shooting them straight. Or so the kids say. Obviously kids say what kids say after visits, but the one thing I've kind of learned about Purdue's recruiting these last couple of years covering it, and then also looking at the difference between what kids say and the difference between what actually happens, is there hasn't been a very big difference between what kids are saying and how they're acting on what they're saying. And I think that gives credibility to this Purdue staff and what they're doing from a recruiting perspective in terms of the substance they're trying to sell kids on and how well it's working.
Let's talk a little bit of basketball. It seemed like a good week for the Indiana seniors, in particular Isaiah Thompson and Brandon Newman. Maybe not so good for the Kentucky seniors here over the last couple of days. Any thoughts on Thompson and Newman? I mean, these are two guys you've seen forever. Obviously, I'm not sure much has changed with those two guys, but they get these last couple All-Star games before they arrive in West Lafayette here for the summer.
Yeah, just, you know, Purdue's won a lot of games the last 4 or 5 years based on, largely on, shooting. I mean, they have shot threes wholesale, and they've had great success doing it, and they've struck a great balance offensively doing it in terms of the relationship between the perimeter and the post. And, you know, Purdue, one of the turning points, it feels like, for Purdue from a basketball perspective was many years ago when they had those teams that couldn't shoot or pass or do basically basically anything well from an offensive perspective. Matt Painter kind of laid out that mandate that we've talked a lot about, we've written a lot about we're going to get a great shooter in every class because we can do that. We can go find good shooters, and we can build a program on offensive skill in large part. And they've had so much success with the shooters they've had over the years that when you look at Brandon Newman and Isaiah Thompson and what they did, and people forget about Mason Gillis because he's not playing, but people should not forget about Mason Gillis. I promise you that. Purdue is not going to have much drop off here at all in terms of the shooting skill. I'm not saying these guys are going to come in and beat Dakota Mathias, Ryan Klein, Carson Edwards, whoever it may be, but they are big time shooters. And when you see, obviously an All-Star game is just an All-Star game and you don't put all that much into it. But when you see Newman and Thompson on Friday night go 8 of 11 from 3-point range between the two of them, that at least tells you what they're capable of. And I think these are guys who are good fits for Purdue from a personality standpoint. Brandon Newman can be a really good defender. He's a tough kid. I think he's a pretty modest guy, a pretty hardworking guy. Thompson is obviously a Thompson, so he checks every box from a personality perspective you could possibly want. But I think his quickness is really going to help Purdue next year. I think Newman gives them a little bit of an athletic upgrade, a little bit of a physical prowess upgrade in the backcourt next season, but both of them can shoot, and both of them are going to help Purdue right away, I think. I think all three of those freshmen are going to come in and help Purdue in some capacity next season.
All right, Brian, we'll let you get back to your budding side business there on Craigslist. Appreciate the time.
It's going to take off on me here any day now.
All right, thanks, Brian.
All right, see you.
All right, let's bring in Tom Dienhard. We'll do that here after the break, talk a little bit of football. Plenty to talk about there, too, including the early line there on Purdue and Nevada. We'll get Tom's thoughts on that coming up here in a moment on Gold and Black Radio. On the far end of Main Street in downtown Lafayette, you'll find East End Grill, Industrial and Classic. The restaurant is built like a steakhouse but handles like a bistro. East End Grill's menu includes creative starters, simple chopped salads, burgers, fresh fish and steaks, and the signature shrimp and grits. The staff prepares every item from scratch and emphasizes simple meals that incorporate fresh, local, and seasonal ingredients. A warm and inviting dining room features a cozy bar that includes a great selection of craft beer, inspired cocktails, and a robust and expanding wine list. Whatever your entertainment needs are, a cocktail at the bar, dinner with family, or a special event at the private dining room, the energized and attentive staff is here for you. East End Grill in downtown Lafayette, welcome to our table.
Life doesn't come with a financial roadmap. It does come with a lot of bumps and red lights. Steering clear of those doesn't have to be difficult. With First Source Bank's online money management tools, you can see all your financial accounts, balances, and transactions in one place. So you can easily set monthly budgets to help manage expenses and debt. Get the green light to a successful financial future with First Source's money management tools. First Source Bank, where better is better. Member FDIC.
The Charters team at RE/MAX Ability Plus is your experienced real estate group in Greater Lafayette. If you're looking to list, buy, sell, upsize, downsize, or anything else, give me a call or text at 765-412-5217 or email at kyle@chartersteam.com.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue Athletics.
Kyle here with Tom, talking a little bit of football. Let's start with the Vegas line there, Tom. 8.5 here. What are we? We're 2.5 months ahead of kickoff?
Yeah.
Probably some questions to be answered between now and then, I would suspect, about both those teams. What do you think about Purdue by 8.5 there on the road on that Friday night, August 30th?
Big number, Kyle. First game of the year always scares me. You know, there's no obviously preseason games for college football squads, so you never really know quite what to expect that first time out. And, you know, special teams a lot of times aren't buttoned up, and upsets can happen. So you're going on the road, foreign environment. And again, Kyle, you're also going to a place where there's an altitude issue. Reno, Nevada is, I believe, 4,000 feet above sea level. So that could pose some issues for Purdue as well. So I'm pretty sure probably be the favorite. But to me, buddy, 8.5 seems like a big number right now.
If I was a Power 5 team, I would never, ever, ever, never go on the road for game one, ever.
I agree. Hey, one kind of interesting storyline from Nevada, they need a quarterback. And one of the guys competing is Malik Henry. Anybody who's a fan of Last Chance U on Netflix will know that name and know who that person is. So it'd be kind of interesting if Malik Henry is the quarterback for the Wolfpack when that offense comes out August 30th against Purdue.
Huh. Yeah, I knew that name when you said it sounded familiar, and that's why. So some freshmen have been trickling in over the last week, summer school starting today. I know on the site you've been sort of breaking down, you know, redshirt possibilities versus, not redshirting. It's always, I think, Tom, this time of year, maybe it's a little bit easier to pick out which positions might have a freshman who can play rather than the freshmen themselves before sort of you get that first look at them, especially, you know, maybe with pads on, come August. But what do you think? I mean, there are certain positions where you, like, absolutely know a freshman is going to come in and play right away, right?
Yeah, it's tough, Kyle. And just trying to have a little fun, offer some insight here with this article series, again, trying to predict who will redshirt and who will play in 2019 among the incoming freshmen who are now on campus. Summer school starts today, so the ball is starting to roll. And obviously, four freshmen got here for the spring ball, Kyle. I think for sure two of those will play, Jalen Graham, George Karloftis on defense. Both probably will start. Karloftis for sure. Graham ended up being a nickelback to begin with in the secondary. Offensively, Paul Pasquale will redshirt the quarterback. And I think maybe the offensive lineman, Spencer Holstich, has a chance. Maybe not to redshirt among all the offensive linemen. So those four guys, keep your eye on them. And as far as positions go, Kyle, I think running back for sure. King Daru, DeJuan Hewitt have a chance to play right away. And the four freshman wide receivers, of course, have drawn so much hype and acclaim. Maybe all four play, my friend. Four-star talents, David Bell, Milton Wright, Mershon Rice, and T.J. Sheffield was just a three-star, Kyle. But remember, he was committed to Notre Dame early on in the process.
Yeah, so those guys could get out on the field, you would think, or at least have that opportunity. We do know, you know, the freshmen can play up to four games, still come back and redshirt. Now, we saw Jeff Brohm be pretty conservative with that last season. It reminds me a little bit back to those early Joe Tiller years when, as you know, Tom, you had to earn Tiller's trust to even set foot on the field for a moment. Now, he had to lessen that up a little bit in the later years. You know, they had some issues, particularly in the secondary that I recall, and some guys got out there maybe before Tiller was ready to let them get out there. But, you know, Brohm seems the same way in a lot of respects, right? I mean, if you're a freshman, you're not getting out there unless he trusts that you know what you're doing out there on the field.
Yeah, you have to be trusted. You have to know your assignment. You can't make mistakes that lead to big plays or, God forbid, touchdowns, back-breaking situations. So you're right. That's number one. The staff has to have confidence and trust that you know your assignments, know your keys, and will not make big mental breakdowns. And, of course, physically, Kyle, can you handle it? These kids more and more are physically ready to come in right away and play at the Big Ten level. still always tough to do it up front on the offensive line in particular. But again, no shock to seeing these guys walking through the door, benching 400 pounds, squatting 500. They always say the further away you play from the ball, the better your chance of impacting right away. So again, we're talking about defensive backs and wide receivers in particular. So Purdue's got some talent there, my friend. I mentioned some guys already. A couple others to watch, and then Kyle Bilodeau, one of two incoming tight ends. I think he will probably get on the field and play, maybe as they prep him for a huge role in 2020. And also back on the defense, Kyle, Dante Hunter, defensive end from Columbus, Ohio. Watch him. I think he's special. And I like Jacob Wahlberg a lot, too, the linebacker from Michigan. The last commit for 2019 flipped from Western Michigan. About 6'4", 235-pound middle linebacker. Technically not part of this class because he's quote-unquote blue-shirting, but Wahlberg's a guy who will go on scholarship in August, and he's going to be very intriguing and fun to watch.
Yeah. Sounds good, Tom. Thank you.
Take care, buddy.
All right, let's take another break. We'll come back. We'll put a wrap on this podcast. We'll be back here in just a moment on Golden Black Radio.
It's time to boiler up and join the Bronze Squad by gearing up with the best selection of Purdue apparel in stock only at Follett's. Visit the Black and Gold Mine store across from Mackey or Follett's Purdue West on State Street for the best game day apparel from Nike, Columbia, Champion, Cutter and Buck, and more. Shop Follett's late on game day weekends. Follett's has been your Purdue game day stop since 1945. If you can't make it to the game, shop online at FollettsPurdue.com.
Often, things are worth more than they seem. For Purdue grad and NASA astronaut Jerry Ross, incredible value was found in the Purdue Alumni Visa. Not just because of the exclusive Purdue card designs, but for the unlimited cash back and out-of-this-world Visa benefits. Discover the official Purdue Alumni Visa credit card. Apply today at PurdueFed.com. Purdue Federal Credit Union. Belong where you have worth. Federally insured by NCUA.
Your neighborhood bar, 6th Street Dive Bar and Grill, is a perfect must-stop location on your way to and from the game at the corner of 6th and Salem in Lafayette. Whether it be great food, authentic Tex-Mex, along with many Indiana favorites, served from 11 a.m. to 3 a.m. every day, sports, games, live music, trivia, or just fellow Boilermaker camaraderie, the Dive is the place to go. Don't miss Geeks Who Drink Trivia at 7:30 Tuesday nights, and live local music without a cover charge at 10 o'clock Fridays and Saturdays. If it's college sports you crave, the 6th Street Dive has you covered there, too, with its multiple big screens. So dive on in to the 6th Street Dive at the corner of 6th and Salem in Lafayette.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue Athletics. More on football recruiting from the weekend visits and the upcoming ones later this month. Be sure to check out goldandblack.com. All right, that'll do it for our show for this week. We'll be back again 10 o'clock on Monday for our next podcast. I'm sure we'll have much more to talk about then. All right, thanks to our sponsors, as always, East End Grill, First Source Bank, Charters Team at RE/MAX Ability Plus, Follett's, the 6th Street Dive, and Purdue Federal Credit Union. All right, back again 10 o'clock next Monday for Brian Ubert and Tom Dienhart. I'm Kyle Charters. Thanks for listening. This is Golden Black Radio.